Welcome to Scars to Stars, where conversations and personal stories let us know we are not alone. In this show, you will meet authors and speakers from our books and events as they share vulnerable personal stories to spread hope and inspire you through adversities in your own life. The world is a difficult place. You will find like-minded people here with kind hearts and supportive souls. I am your host, Dina Brown Mitchell. I am a suicide survivor and the founder of the Realize Foundation. I am so glad you are here. Let's dig into this meaningful conversation.
Hi, everyone. It's Dina at the Realize Foundation. And today we have a special guest. Her name is Dr. Karen Kramer, and she has a brand new book out called Healthy Grief. And it's really important in our community. So many people have lost people to suicide or other ways and going through that grief. And I think suicide is a special case because you don't always understand it. You know, as if you lose a loved one to suicide, you never get to understand why. And I think that's the hardest part of that kind of grief. And so I'm going to let you, Dr. Karen, talk about your new book and how maybe that fits into what I just said.
Yes, and I will. So the subtext or subtitle to Healthy Grief is Normalizing and Navigating Loss in a Culture of Toxic Positivity. So let's start there with the subtitle. And it's when it comes to feelings of loss, of hopelessness, of grief. So it is, grief is beyond just death and dying. It's this strong emotional feeling that we have to some form of loss when what once was is no longer. And I'm going to open up my book metaphorically here in front of us to really focus on that definition first before I start diving in even more. So the idea that we had something at one point in time, and it may be a loved one that we had. It could be a health, a career, hopes and dreams that we once had, a relationship that we had. For those of us getting older, a certain kind of health, a certain kind of size, whatever it is, we once had something. And then something happened and we no longer had that thing. Even if it's hopes and dreams, we no longer had that thing and something happened. But instead of just changing a page over from one chapter to the other, we can't easily jump into the next chapter or season of our life without acknowledging that if it is grief, it is a strong emotion that we have to something that once was, that it's that process we go through from jumping from one chapter to another chapter in our life. And it's that process that we go through. And in many cases, I bring in the term toxic positivity. Let's talk about that, which is we think about, well, yeah, don't we want to be positive? But when we want somebody else or even ourselves, we feel like we have to be positive. The toxic part is when it hinders that healthy grief process, when it hinders that process of us going through the grief and healing from it, especially if we have lost somebody. It is for us who have lost somebody, even if we've lost somebody for suicide, and to your point that you just made, is we may not know necessarily why or how or what the choice that they went through that. In other words, there's a lot of questions that we may have, but it doesn't help us when somebody else is like, oh, it's time to get over it, or put a smile on your face, or they're in a better place, or some of those phrases that have been heard. And that's the toxic positivity, when somebody is trying to make us better, good intentions, trying to make us feel good when we just want to be seen, heard, and understood for the own emotions that we're going through as part of this process. Flip side, we feel we have to put on that smiley, happy, fake smile and go through because that's what's accepted to be able to process through, that we have to be this happy person when truly we're going through this emotion. And there actually, you mentioned something and I'm going to come back to it. I even mentioned it. One of the gentlemen that I interviewed for this book, so there's 30 grief survival case studies that are in this book. And one of the gentlemen had on death by suicide, had lost his son just 11 years prior to. And he said one of the things that was said to him was, oh, well, your son's in a better place. And he's basically like, you know, the wanting to flip him off, like, my son would have been better here with me. How dare you say something like that? So I just wanted to finish up with that comment as well.
Yeah, that's true. And I think to your point about toxic positivity is that, you know, that it's a big conversation around mental health in general, not just in the sense of grief, is that, you know, when people are dealing with depression or anxiety or, you know, any number of, you know, mental health letters, toxic positivity is real. I mean, I'm somebody who suffered from depression my whole life. Mm-hmm. And it's like some days you have to let yourself be in a funk. You have to let yourself cry. You have to let yourself get those emotions out, or they just keep turning into more and more of the same. And so when somebody's like, oh, you should just be happy, you have so much to be thankful for, you have, you know, all these things going for you, it doesn't help us process what is wrong. Like, and for me personally, I didn't process a lot of that for decades. And so when 2020 happened, I was forced to, you know, go back and process a lot of things that had happened in my life that I had never acknowledged or talked about at all. And so it's really hard when you're in a place like that, whether it's grief or whether it's depression or whether it's, you know, whatever it is that you're going through, some kind of challenge or adversity, that it's okay to not be positive all the time. And you have to make that space for yourself in order to have that time to process it and really feel better. You know, like some days you'll just feel like crying. And there's some point when you're crying that you're like, I'm done crying. Like, it's done. I'm over it. Well, we have to go through that same process with grief and with, you know, not being positive all the time.
Yes. And you're taking me back to another one of the grief survival case studies that is showing up in Healthy Grief. So by the way, there are 30. There are 30 different grief survival case studies that are in there. One of them is Donna's. Donna lost her daughter, death by suicide, when her daughter was 19 years old. And one of the things that she says in the book is she's an advocate for doing mental health checkups at a younger age. Because she says, I lost my daughter due to mental illness. And the reason why she's saying that is really to bring more awareness, which is, I love the fact that you're doing this, is raising more awareness to those of us who are struggling ourselves or have loved ones who are struggling with some form of mental illness, to be able to process through that it is. How can we normalize these conversations? How can we have that support to help people process through the challenges that are going on for them? So she is a big advocate for it. And I feel very blessed that she shared her story in Healthy Grief. And there's a second part to it too, that I want to add on to what you just said, is around emotions and processing through the emotions. As I found individuals where, whether they were my clients or not, this came up in the grief studies, is like, I feel lost. I feel stuck. I don't know where I am. I'm frustrated. So one of the things that is in the Healthy Grief framework, so there is a 5-stage Healthy Grief framework, which is part of the book, is talking about emotions and emotional flow. So most people are familiar with Kubler-Ross's 5 stages of grief, okay? Mm-hmm. Kubler-Ross originally created that framework for those who were terminally ill, and it has been expanded into other areas as well. But what I typically ask is, can you list all 5 of those stages? What are the 5 stages? And typically the response is, even from my peers who are well-versed in it, they can't. So one of the models I actually use with executives and new managers from my leadership side, because that's been my background for over 30 years. And it is a model to understand the various different flows of emotions. And I found myself bringing that into the Healthy Grief Framework with the idea about thinking about what are the various different flows of emotions that people may be going through. Not that they're going to start at this end and end over here, and not that it's going to be a straight line or all the way through. It's almost like going to a mall. If you've ever been to a large mall and you're like, I'm not even quite sure where the restroom is. I'm not even quite sure where this shoe store I'm going to or this restaurant. But you look for that kiosk, right? That map in a mall. And one of the first things is you may go and try to figure out where the restrooms are, where you're trying to go, but you're not going to get there unless you also identify on the map that red dot or that X that indicates where you currently are on that map. So you need to identify both points. Where am I now? And where do I want to go? If I just know where I want to go, but I have no clue as to where I am on the map, it's not going to help me. So this process, it's called Dancing with Sarah, this emotion model is intended to help the individuals identify, like, you're not wrong in having these emotions. You're having emotions. Here is where it sits on this flow. It's like finding that mall X in the middle of that mall kiosk to know that it's okay. It's okay. You're grieving in your natural way, and here's where you are on the process. So that's another thing that clients, as well as those reading the book, have found helpful in just understanding where are they in this process of emotions.
That's such a good point because, you know, like you said, you know, we're always focused on whatever's next or whatever, how we're moving forward. And I think that speaks to the books we publish too with people's stories is that people come into that project with the thought, like, my story is going to help other people. And 100% it does. But what they don't realize is how much the journey of writing their story and publishing it helps them. And I think it's a huge aha moment for a lot of people that are involved in our projects. And if you're listening to this and you don't know what I'm talking about, we publish books called Scars to Stars. And it's really just people telling their story of overcoming adversity. And we believe that having these conversations and community around adversity can help people to not get to the point of suicidal ideation, hopefully, because we can help them with understand more about the struggles they're going through that get them there. And so whether that's addiction or whether that's, you know, mental illness or whether it's, you know, abuse, whatever it is, we talk about all those things in our book. And we hope that we don't get to the point of grief in the way that we're talking about it here. But, you know, it's the conversation piece is so huge because I had a suicide attempt when I was 27. And for 23 years, I never talked about it. I didn't tell anybody. And when I finally met another person who had survived a suicide attempt and I could actually have a conversation with them, it changed everything for me because I knew then that I wasn't alone. Someone else had been there. And, you know, just talking about it out loud, it gets the junk out of your head. It helps you process it and move forward. And I think it's the same thing with grief. And it's like you can't bottle it up forever and also process it. Like you have to talk about it to process it, right?
Yeah.
Are you feeling alone, lacking hope, and unsure of the future? So many people are feeling the same way. How could you not after an unprecedented lockdown of the entire globe? The fallout has changed the normalcy we all knew. It's hard when you feel lost, and even harder when you're scared to talk about it. We are here to help. At the Realize Foundation, we provide peer-to-peer support through conversations, community, and personal stories. It is our mission to spread hope and let you know that you are not alone. If you are enjoying this podcast, I would love for you to become part of our membership community to get the peer-to-peer support you need.
Learn more at the call to action link for Scars to Stars membership. I look forward to seeing you in our community of kind souls.
It's really important, and I'm really excited for our community to hear what you're doing and about your book, because there's so many people, and I've been in Facebook groups about suicide, and it's just heartbreaking the stories people have about losing a child, a parent, a brother, sister, and how it affects them forever, you know, for the rest of their life, and how we can have these conversations in order to at least help them cope with it, you know?
Yeah. And a couple things are coming up for me as I'm hearing you too, is part of the book, the Healthy Grief book, and it's intended to talk about healthy grief. We can grieve and grieve various different ways, and we grieve in our own way. Are we grieving healthily? So what do I mean by that? I mean, are we grieving in such a way so it's not settling in our body? Are we grieving in such a way that it is not negatively impacting the relationships around us? So internally and externally. And in Healthy Grief, I also talk about the various different stories, because they are case studies, that I look at any of those stories that came to me, whether they were my clients, my own stories, or others who came to me. And with any mention about physical ailments in the body, I also step back and I looked at, how does grief show up in the body? So let me tell you about Stephanie. And Stephanie is the reason why I wrote Healthy Grief, and relates to what we're just talking about. So Stephanie came to me, she was in her early 50s, and she had just been diagnosed with stage 2 colon cancer. Now, she knew what I did. We'd been friends for a while, so she knew what I did, but she'd been kind of tiptoeing around it, like, that doesn't apply to me. I don't want to do any therapy. And which, by the way, I'm not a traditional therapist, but that was her idea of what I did. And she mentioned to us one night that she said to a group of us as friends, and she said, I've just been diagnosed with stage 2 colon cancer. And at that moment, I just got this energetic wave, like this was her calling. This was her meaning. This was her wake up call. So after everybody else of our friends gave her their hug, condolences, I came up to her and gave her an energetic hug. And I whispered in her ear and I said, Stephanie, this is your wake up call. You will get through this. Call me. Again, she knew what I did. The next day or 2 days later, she went to the doctor, who said, Stephanie, this has been growing. You may have just been diagnosed, but this has been growing in your body for 5 years. Now, 5 years is indicative. Now, I'm sharing her story, and I'm also sharing some similar stories that are in Healthy Grief. It doesn't necessarily mean that 5 years for everyone. It doesn't mean cancer for everyone. I just want to hear Stephanie's story that was so powerful. She then asked the question again, this has been growing in you for 5 years. It really hit her, because it was almost 5 years to the day. It was 2 months away from 5 years to the day when her husband committed suicide, died by suicide. And she was carrying the guilt of not being able to save him. She was the first one who was there, was not being able to save him. So we did the work, the energetic work, about being able to release that guilt that she was holding on to, because she said she was about ready to carry that guilt to the grave with not being able to help him at that time. And she also had 4 children who were leaning on her and needing her. So by doing the work, now let me stop there. That's another reason why I chose to write this book after working with Stephanie, because I said, this point in time, people need to understand that grief is more than just death and dying. It could be carrying around the guilt of the loss. Just as I mentioned when we started, there's various different types of loss out there, even the COVID loss, because you mentioned that loss of normalcy is a loss that's out there. And so having an understanding how grief is more than just death and dying. The second part of it is how unresolved grief over a period of time will settle in the body. Let me repeat that. Unresolved grief over a period of time will settle in the body. Now, I just came from a mastermind this last weekend with an individual who was talking about trauma and PTSD and suicide, because that was part of his background, because he came from the military background and was helping those overcome PTSD and wartime trauma and suicide. So his frame was the same thing as mine, that unresolved grief for him, he was saying, will settle into mental illness. I'm saying unresolved grief will settle in the body, right? So it's looking at why healthy grief. Is we grieve in various different ways, but there's healthy ways to grieve and there's not so healthy ways to grieve. And that's the reason why more, like even this podcast, getting it out there so people understand that, yes, you can grieve in your own way. There's also healthier ways to do it without it settling in the body. Now for Stephanie, she's moving towards remission. And again, once you remove that energetic hold on that grief, and again, in her case, it was that loss of her husband, then it allows the body to come back to balance. There's more on that, so I'm not going to talk too much more in here on that, but let's put it aside. One thing, and I love the fact that I'm bringing up Stephanie, because one thing is that I wanted to create a platform for her to be able to share her story, not only what led to her grief, but her healing journey as well. And just a month after we launched Healthy Grief, she was invited by a veteran to come talk to other veterans, other military veterans who had considered suicide or attempted suicide, and to talk to them. And she was basically the face to say, if you were or you chose to, look at me. I am the face. I am that spouse that you would have left. I have these children that you would have left behind. And in most cases, they were males, as I understood it, who were part of that. I don't know how many were in that environment, but a number of them came up to her afterwards and just thanked her for sharing her story. Back to what we're talking about today, stories are so powerful. Stories are so powerful. Those individuals who wrote their own stories for healthy grief. And again, these were case studies. It was an anthology. I specifically picked the individuals who wrote the stories for the book. It was a case study because I analyzed those stories for the reader to understand how they can pull through the themes of the healthy grief model. And also wanted to make sure that the individuals submitting those stories were helpfully enough on their process of healing, whereby writing the story was not going to re-traumatize them. But just as you mentioned, Jana, that's there. It's the stories people were saying just by writing their story for healthy grief. That in and of itself was healing.
Yeah, it's very true. It's like when I, before the pandemic, when I owned a business and I was just working all the time, you know, I had people would say to me sometimes, like, you should journal. And I was like, I don't have time for that. Right. But in 2020, I did have time for that. And I started journaling and I started writing about new business ideas. And then I also started writing about the trauma in my life and my suicide attempt. And it is so freeing to write, whether it's for just you or whether you're writing it for other people. It gets the words out of your head and on the paper. And one of our authors said to me in our Scars to Stars interview, he said, you know, once you put it on paper, it's just words. It doesn't hurt you anymore. It's just words. And I thought that was profound because it's so true. Because when we do write or even talk about it and have a conversation, we're getting the junk out of our head and it helps us to process it. And I say it in probably layman terms where you have more scientific terms, but I think it's you know, the whole point is just to have people have conversations around mental health, death, suicide, grief, you know, because we can't get over things if we don't let it out or talk about it. And it's so important. And I'm so glad that you are here today talking about this because it's important to our community and to your community, I'm sure, and getting the word out more about how that stress and grief manifests in our body, because it does. I mean, I know that, but I don't know it on the level that you do.
Yes. And I approach it anytime I hear anyone talk about any kind of physical ailment showing up in their body, I'm immediately curious. I had a conversation with a woman yesterday. We happened to be in a mastermind together, and she just mentioned something about a fall, a shoulder injury that she had to the point where the muscle had pulled, separated from the bone. So I leaned in with just some questions that were coming to me, as well as I also leaned on my intuition. So some of the work that I do, just to clarify, is looking at the neuroscience of our, that psychosomatic in our body. So that subconscious, that unconscious work, that's part of the work that I do. And I also lean on my own intuition. So I was asking her some gentle questions and also sharing with her either the questions or the words that were coming to mind for me. And she had shared a bit about her upbringing, about her father, and then said, oh yeah, though, that's just a story. And then indicating that what was showing up in her shoulder was separate, emphasize that word, separate from her father. So I came back and I said, your shoulder, muscle separated from the bone. And I just said, what does the word separation mean for you? And in many cases, because I never want to imply anything, this was just coming up, and she sat there and she broke down in tears. And she said, it's my father. That's what's showing up for me. Now, that was 2 days ago at the time of this recording. That was 2 days ago. She sent me a text message this morning. She didn't respond to me yesterday when I'm like, how are you? And this was not a client. This is nothing. She's just somebody who was in a mastermind together. We had bonded. We were having a casual conversation over lunch. That's all it was. She sent me a text message this morning and she said, I rested all day yesterday. And I woke up this morning and now I could move my arm, which I had not been able to move in the last 5 years.
Wow. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Well, I know we have a time limit, so I want to thank you so much for being here today. And for anyone listening, I just want to put up our website. You'll be able to find more about Dr. Karen Creamer and Healthy Grief around this video, wherever it's posted. And if you'd like, if you're interested in telling your story in Scars to Stars or being on our podcast, you can go to realizefoundation.org and just fill out the submission on the Scars to Stars page. So I hope to see you all in one of our events or one of our books. And thank you again, Dr. Karen, for being here.
Thank you, Dana. And all the best to everyone watching and listening.
I'm so happy you joined us for this conversation. My wish is that you found comfort and hope in your own unique situation. If you resonated with our message, please head over to therealizefoundation.org, where you can apply to write your own story in one of our books. You can also download our 60 Ideas for Self-Care on the resources page. I can't wait to hear from you. Until next time, you are not alone, you are worthy, and you are enough.